Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Well, former President Mary McAleese and presenter Mary Kennedy are great friends. They're also walking buddies. They're just back from a few days in Italy, and they've recently begun hosting a podcast together. It's called Changing Times, the Alan Wood Conversations. And I'm delighted to say on this beautiful sunny morning in Dublin that Mary McAleese and Mary Kennedy are here in studio with me. Morning to you both.
Morning, Miriam. How are you?
Thanks so much for being here. You're both looking great. So tell me, you've just come back from Italy. Was it a walking holiday or...?
It was a walking and pilgrimage.
It was.
We went to Bobbio.
Yeah, and we were walking in the footsteps of Saint Columbanus, who went from Bangor through Europe and ended up in Bobbio. And it was you were there making a programme last year and then suggested it to our group that it would be nice for us.
I had made a film about Columbanus a few years ago because I believe very firmly, and the film was called The First European. He was 1,500 years ago, he was telling people, work together in partnership. You don't have to surrender anything. You can be French, you can be German, you can be Italian, you can be Irish, but if you work together, you might actually get peace and prosperity as opposed to conflict. So that was 1,500 years ago. And anyway, in Bobbio is the place where he died. It's a magnificent place, isn't it?
It is absolutely lovely.
It's in the village of the Apennines, the time forgotten, the little town. It was voted the most beautiful town in Italy a few years back. And when you eventually get there, because it isn't the easiest place to get to, but it's so worth it. So 21 of us we've been going, you know, on holidays together, doing bits of the Camino for the last number of years. Mm-hmm. So that, and we are just back from there. Mary's looking a lot fresher than me because she came back on an earlier flight.
Mary came on a very late flight. But it was lovely because one of the highlights, I think, was we had a mass celebrated by Monsignor Own Time, one of our group, just in the crypt at the tomb of St. Columbanus. And then there was another time where we took the waters, Mary, didn't we? They have, like Liz Dunvarney, you can take the waters. So we marched up to the sulphur spring, held our noses.
Found by the monks 1,500 years ago.
And took the waters.
Yeah. Such a joy to have you both here, actually, because you're just going to keep talking and I'm going to sit here.
Mary's sister Deirdre was with us, Deirdre Nicaneda, who is she's the most magnificent singer. And the acoustic in the crypt was singing
The Deer's Cry.
Deer's Cry. It was stunning. Just stunning.
Is that how you both met and became friends? Mm-hmm. Tell me how you first met.
Well, it was actually when Mary was president, and it was in 2008, and actually Father Dermot McCarthy was retiring from his position.
And we should give Dermot a shout out because he's one of our group, but he's not
well
enough to travel
here in
anymore.
So he was retiring and there was a do.
Hi, Dermot.
And
Hi, Dermot. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we'll have to go and visit him again. We go and visit him from time to time, but he wasn't able to join us on this trip. But anyway, he was having his retirement, and he said, what do you want to do now? He said, I'd love to do the Camino. And we set up a group, and it's a very diverse group now, isn't it, Mary?
It is. But, you know, it kind of, I've been talking about doing it for years with Dermot and saying, whenever you retire, we'll do it. But sure, he didn't retire, and I kind of retired, but then I didn't retire. And so we said, we better do it now. And one of the things that brought us together, actually, there's a strong link with this place. Liam Miller, who was a member of Liam Miller and his wife, beautiful wife Britt, senior management here, who did retire, had intended spending their lives in a lovely little place down in France, and God help them, their two beautiful daughters, Jenny and Catherine, were killed the first Christmas as they travelled down to join their parents for Christmas. And what they did was an amazing thing. They went and they did the whole Camino. They walked for months, and we thought, well, the least we can do then is join them. And we did that. That was the start of our group. And I think maybe bonding around people who were suffering,
because we had our struggles.
You know, we've had lots of ups and downs since as a group, but we're very tight with each other,
which is actually probably gives us a certain, I suppose, empathy with the people that we're talking to on the podcast.
That's true.
You know, changing times, because we like to focus it around people who have experienced change in their lives and how they have coped with that. And then that's really, I suppose, a way of gaining entry to other parts, because we do have lots of laughs on the podcast and also an insight into people. And I think from a listener's point of view, it's nice to know that people have their struggles and this is how they cope.
It's a lovely podcast. So how did that come about? Who suggested it?
That was Mary's partner, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a shout out for Tom. Everyone at home is going to ask her now who is Tom. Miriam, ask her about her
Tom
partner.
From the West. That's the way he's referred to. But he is a real big fan of podcasts. And he was listening last summer to
What's Tom's surname, by the way?
Agawan.
Tom O'Connor.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Tom.
Very famous legal family from Swinford.
We love Tom already.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Mary.
Let me tell you about the podcast. the day Mary told me she'd find a new, a wonderful new man.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you know, he's a lawyer. He's from Swinford. And I go, is he one of the O'Connors? And she said to me, you couldn't possibly know that. I said, I know Pat, the brother, very well. And I said, oh, great family, wonderful family. Mm. So that's how it came about.
Because actually, just before you came in, I said to my producer, Deirdre, I wonder, is Mary with anybody? I said, will I ask her or not?
No, there you go. So we told the entire country now.
So anyway, the rest
of Tom's lovely.
He really is a lovely person.
He was listening to Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart and the rest is politics. And he said he liked the dynamic between the two people. And he just suggested it. He said, well, maybe, you know, that would be a nice thing for you and Mary to do. And we had a cup of coffee in various places and had the chat. And then Enda Grace from Dundara Media and Television in Allenwood, which is
in County Kildare. And we're so lucky because the podcast is sponsored by Kildare County Council.
Great.
So and Allenwood is just the most divine little village.
It's in the heart of the Bog of Allen.
Wow. It's so pretty. And we are doing the podcast in a beautiful, it's a purpose-built kind of port-a-cabin studio in Enda's back garden.
Yes.
And it's very relaxed. So people who come there,
lovely.
Everybody's just an expansive, relaxed mood. Mm-hmm. We had a very famous Irish songwriter the other day, Phil Coulter. And Phil was just saying afterwards how very, very relaxed the whole thing was. Mm. And that was an interesting one because we went from laughing to crying with him.
Yeah.
Was that about his siblings who died?
We started, but you'd be surprised also what's lurking in his heart that he hadn't articulated before. And it just sort of tumbled out. He's the most gorgeous person.
And also even... speaking of songwriters, my nephew Dermot Kennedy, who
he was the first
was
one,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah,
he was
but
great.
He said that it was the first interview of that type he had ever done, where he was asked opinions on what made him feel, what he felt in certain situations, rather than, you know, all about music. So it's life, love, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, Mary had said to me before the podcast. Because
By the way, do your interviewees ever get a word in?
Not a word. No. But Mary said to me, don't you dare ask him who his favourite auntie is now.
So she did.
That's the first question I asked him. And
But I wouldn't mind only on the way to the recording. My sister Deirdre, whom you've met, Mary.
Yeah, she's
She was on the phone to me and she said, you know, make sure he tells you who his favourite auntie is. And I had said that to Mary, so that was obviously it.
Yeah.
But he had the good grace not to answer.
Which I thought was quite telling, personally.
I think one of the questions is really interesting. I might ask it to you. You ask all of the guests on the podcast, if there was one thing that they could change in their own life, what would it be?
Yes.
So if I asked you, Mary Kennedy.
Well, one of the things that I would change in my life, I suppose, is not having lost my father so early. He died on the golf course at the age of 59. I was 21. I absolutely adored him. And I do feel that kind of sadness colours your life, because I would consider myself now to be a very serious person, maybe a risk averse person. And I can't help but think, I go to a counsellor. I went at a time of struggle when my marriage was failing, but I also continue when life is good, because I think mental health needs to be maintained in the good times as well as the bad times. But I just explore those kinds of things with
That's
her.
So interesting. And when your dad died, you said you adored him.
Yeah. Suddenly.
How big an impact did that have on you?
Well, it had a huge impact. Mm. I was actually in France teaching English at the time. I was 22. And the way it worked, I had to obviously make my way home. They didn't tell me at home that he had died. They told me he'd had a turn on the golf course. And what struck me was, at 6 a.m. in Rennes in Brittany, I was walking to the train station with my rucksack, and a car stopped, and it was an English couple who said they would bring me to the train station. And I said, yeah, my dad, he's not well and I have to get home very quickly. And I went to the train, and then the next thing is I saw the couple. They came to the platform and they said, oh, we just thought we'd stay with you until the train left. And I was 22. I said, why would they do that? But now I feel that all of these things kind of come to the surface again. So that's what I would change. I'd love my dad to have lived longer.
Oh, Mary? Maxine?
It's funny you should say that, because if I was to change anything, it would be the fear that I and everybody who lived during the Troubles in Belfast had, that their dad wouldn't come home, or their mum mightn't come home, or their brother or sister. One of my constant fears was that my father would be murdered, wouldn't come home. And to go to bed at night as a youngster with that kind of almost like a big lump of something awful, like a big brick clunking in your stomach with worry. And so many people that happened to, like my father died at a good advanced age, thank God. But having had a lot of hassle that was directly related to the Troubles. But then there were a lot of people who their dads didn't come home, their brothers, their sisters didn't come home. I just read an article in one of the papers this morning, you know, about the King's Mills massacre. Mm. And one of the men who died in that, his daughter Sandra was my husband Martin's dental nurse, and you know, it ruined their lives. Mm-hmm. Her and her mummy and her brother ended up uprooting from Bessbrook, where they had been a very happy family, and moving to Canada. For their mummy, you know, at her age, going away to live in Canada, that was difficult. Mm-hmm. So the downstream consequences of all those things are still living in people's lives. They're trickling in some cases, or they're an avalanche in some cases. We've seen it with the Stardust here, how people have lived with that. We saw it with what happened up in Bloody Sunday in Derry, how these things, they capture a heart and a soul, but they also capture a life. Mm-hmm. And if I could change anything, it would be to say to people, whatever differences we have, could we please teach that we resolve them by dialogue, by discussion, mm-hmm. by trying to establish friendship, and that we don't reach for the gun, the knife, the bullet, or the bitter word. Mm-hmm. Because the bitter word sometimes is as damaging, you know, as the bullet. So that's what I would I'd love to live in a world, and we're not seeing it anymore. We're still the default position always just seems to be violence, and shape throwing and machismo, where I think life, one of the things that we celebrate is friendship. Yeah. And we're very grateful for the friendship that we have. Really,
and you
grateful.
Know, there's a quote that I came across when I was studying. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. He wrote the Le Petit Prince, and in translation, it is, "There is no hope of joy except in human relations."
Correct.
And listening to what we've both said about the sadness and the heartache of losing somebody you love, it just points to the significance of that, and it's just so important that people realise that having relationships and friendships and nurturing them, and also, I suppose, gaining insight into what makes other people's lives meaningful in our podcast is really what life is about, Mary.
And the interesting thing is, though, you know, I was very excited about having you both here, because you are both iconic, you're both really interesting, but you're also good fun. And also, recently I've interviewed a couple of men who are in their 80s, like big famous people like Bernie Sanders, Anthony Fauci, and they both said, retirement? You've got to be... They looked at me aghast when I suggested it. But like you two, decades younger, but you're never going to do that either, are you?
I don't think.
We embrace opportunity.
We'll keep going for as long as we can.
But we also love our families, and we love our grandchildren, and having time with friends. So it's really nice to be doing things like this that you can do in spurts, if you like, and then have time away from that, so that you can, you know, like going to Italy for 4 days.
But it's a good thing for women as well, because I said those two men I mentioned, like, it seems to be a lot of men, either they run to be the president of America when they're very old, but women are less inclined to think that they should go on and keep doing great things.
And that's a pity.
Yeah.
Because for as long as we are alive, for as long as we've breath in our body, there is something to be offered, isn't there?
Yeah.
And to think that you've nothing left to offer, that's an awful waste of a life.
Yeah.
For so long, that's what women were told. You know, and not that you have nothing left to offer, but you can only offer it in a very limited sphere. And that was very wasteful of the gifts that God gave us. Very, very, very wasteful. I mean, I think of our group, for example, we were 21 of us away on this trip to Bobby O. A spectrum of politics, spectrum of religions. We have, in fact, we were singing Ireland's Call in honour of Phil the other night. And we have four Protestants in the group, some from the north, some from Sweden. And the final, one of our group changed the final line. The four proud Protestants of Ireland. So, you know, we always have a laugh.
Yeah.
And I think to be in the company of people whom you've made an effort to make friends with, but also to sustain the friendship with. I mean, we sustain it through our WhatsApp.
Yeah,
we have a WhatsApp group. Yeah. We meet a couple of times a year, maybe once for lunch, and then we go away for 2 or 3 days together. And then we also do, it's a strange thing, like we do pray together. Mm-hmm. It sounds ridiculous. Now, we're not a pious group. There's not an ounce of piousness in anybody. But then we would have, we'd have the Mass because we Father Owen with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that, there's just something very special about gathering in quiet.
Because that is, go on, Mary.
But I also feel that what Mary was saying there about women being less inclined, there's a kind of a feeling that, you know, for instance, look at all the products that you can buy on the shelves that they're anti-aging. I think aging is a lovely gift because the alternative is
pretty not bleak.
To be contemplated. Yeah. But and there's also, I just love quotes. There was another one that I came across years ago and it was called, "First You Are Young, Then You Are Beautiful." First You Are Young, Then You Are Middle-Aged, Then You Are Old, Now You Are Beautiful. And I think because we are an accumulation of all of the experiences, the joys, the sadnesses and the wisdom that we gain through life. So that really needs to be celebrated and used.
That's what we try to extract in the interviews with the people that we're talking to. That there are people who, some of them will have taken on challenges, like Damien, whom we had the other day, who decided to row the Atlantic. If I was his mummy, I'd have snapped him. But I mean, amazing story, really. The courage, the self-belief was just amazing. And the philosophy underpinning it. Because we asked him about the God thing. I did. I'm always asking people about God. And I asked him the God thing. And he said, he didn't pray. I said, whenever you were there in the Atlantic, did you say, you know, God get me out of this or God help me? He said, no. He was relying entirely on his own inner strength. I found that just completely riveting.
I also find it fascinating, though, both of you, like, as you say, you pray when you go away together. Sometimes you're not pious or whatever. But like Mary, you're known, Mary McAleese, for taking on the church, challenging them. But your faith remains strong, clearly.
It's a big part of my day, Mary. That's the that's the truth of the matter. I look back on those days back in Belfast when sometimes all you had was a prayer to get you through the next moment or the next, and the prayer that helped you to forgive, not to dwell in the awful tit for tat, them and us, the hatreds, to try and move. For me, it was always that great commandment to love one another. I loved all that. I loved the story of the nativity. I loved the gentleness of all that. I hated the use of religion for dividing people and for fostering hatred. So for me, look, getting up every morning, the first thing I say is, oh, here I am. My granny used to do this, God rest her soul. She'd wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm here for another day now. Let's get up and enjoy it. She would.
I love your granny. Yeah,
she was great. And she loved my granddad. They were just the happiest couple. They just adored each other. Well, she was the boss, of course, but he just adored her. And when he died, he was still in the 70s. And she didn't whinge. She didn't become overburdened with grief. Her attitude was, well, God's left me here for another while. Let me get on with it. She had 11 children. She had at that stage 60 grandchildren. We're now up to about 140 great grandchildren. And her attitude every morning was, oh, I'm here another day now. Oh, I better, what should I do today now? Where could we go? What crack could we have today?
That's such a great attitude. Everyone listening is going great. And you, Mary, you obviously have lots of
faith. I grew up in a very traditional Catholic family in Clondalkin. My mother was very religious. Like, she would go to Mass every morning. And I think we followed all the traditions. We said the rosary every evening. We had to kneel down in the kitchen after tea. And we used to always try to distract my mother, you know, because...
In the summer evenings,
and we'd be there and I'd be saying, oh, did you see this on the television? Or so-and-so's going to play rounders with us on the road tonight. And then you'd hear all of a sudden out of the darkness would come, Tom, will you hand me down the beads? But yes, I'm a traditional Catholic and I feel as I get older, I appreciate more the wonderful religious and the values that they gave us.
Now, as we come to the end of this, another question you both ask in your podcast is, what's on the bucket list? You've both achieved so much. What is outstanding for you both? Mary McAleese.
On my bucket list, right.
You haven't done enough.
I know, honestly, my bucket list at the moment is to finish the jumper I started 2 years ago
for my brother.
I knit all the time, my mother too. My mother knits all the time. She knits little caps now and little things for the maternity hospitals. But my mother's rate of churning these things out out is literally way ahead of the national reproduction efforts. But anyway, so I learned all that from her. But I'm knitting a cardigan for my brother the last 2 years. Well, actually, what happened was when I knit it up first, it was too big and he didn't like it. So I started another one. And that's my bucket list.
Are you going to finish that?
Get the blessed thing finished.
Mary, your bucket list.
I just want to spend more time with children and grandchildren and friends because I just love time. We're all both very sociable people, but yes, and travel and just having nice gatherings with people. I'm not kind of ambitious in the way that I, you know, one might be with regard to career. I will never turn down an opportunity, but I love life.
Yeah.
We both do, actually, don't we?
Yeah. And you've got lovely Martin in your life, and you've lovely Tom
there
in your
you
life.
You go, Miriam.
Listen, it's
you're
a
so happy out. Yeah.
To have love in your life, Miriam, is the most important thing, and to give it and to take it.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're blessed to have it. Listen, Mary Kenty and Mary McAleese, thank you so much for being here this morning, for coming into our studio. And listeners can find your really excellent podcast if they search for Changing Times, The Alan Wood Conversations. Thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Miriam.
We'll take a break.